I stood in the corner, I began to reflect back the powerful meaning of this song. If I look back at all the things that you've done, that's why I give you praise. There's nothing about the future. It's all about the past. You saved me. You restored me. You redeemed me. In my brokenness, you've made me whole. In my worst place, you made me new. You refilled me. You revived me. And that's why I give you praise. Not because it's blessings to me. Not because I desire something. But even in my lowest and in my worst, you saw something there and wiped and eradicated all sin away. That's why I praise. Across this building, can you raise your hands and begin to lift your voice and think about the man that you were, the lady that was once there, but now is no longer, because it's great. I know there's some people that have maybe lost their way, maybe have forgotten what it is to be grace and mercy experienced, maybe didn't give the right amount of adoration that God's deserving. Now's the opportunity to open up that vessel and say, I want to be overflowing, God. I want to be overflowing with your vessel, your anointing in this place right now. Across this room, if you have the ability, I ask that you raise your hands right now and you begin to praise the King of Kings and the El Shaddai. You begin to worship him and take these words into action. Begin to glorify and magnify the King of Kings and the El Shaddai in this place. Praise is not a spectator sport, but it's a participation sport. And we need to participate in praising the King of Kings. Why? Because he's worthy. Why? Because he's great. Why? Because he's mighty. Why? Because he blessed me. Why? Because he saved me. Why? Because he kept me. Why? Because he restored me. God is good, so I praise him. I give him all the glory and all the adoration that I can right now. The Holy Ghost. There are some people that are underneath the sound of my voice right now that should be ashamed of the amount of praise that they're exonerating to the King of Kings, because where you deserve to be if it wasn't for his grace. You don't deserve to be here. You don't deserve to experience the miracles. You don't deserve to experience the glories. Yet he still allowed you to be restored. And that's how you return his praise. That's how you return his praise. There is a moment to understand, if he's not worth praising on earth, what makes you think you're going to get the opportunity to praise him in heaven? I'm sorry. It's one of those things that you need to understand. The Lord knows your thoughts and he knows your gratitude, but the devil, he doesn't know those things. So when we lift our hands and we begin to praise, we're letting the devil know, God, it's by your mercy and it's by your grace. That's why I praise you. I didn't deserve it. I wasn't worthy of it, but I still praise you. I still give you honor. He's a good God. He's a great God. I got a sermon to preach, and I'm going to preach it in a second. But I can't hold back what I feel in the Holy Ghost. See, in moments like this is when chains are broken. Some of you that might not hear the voice of the God, or the voice of the Lord right now, it's in your correlation to where you're at in your walk with him. You're going, what's happening? I don't feel anything. I don't know what's happening. Let me tell you, the presence of the Holy Ghost is in this house. The anointing of the Holy Ghost is in this building. Whatever you need, God's able to take it from you. God's able to restore you and revive you. How do I know it? Because he's done it for me, and that's why I praise. If God can heal me, God can heal you. If God can wipe me free of sin, God can wipe you free of sin. That's why I praise. If he can heal depression, that's why I praise. If he can wipe out sickness, that's why I praise. If he can restore a marriage, that's why I praise. I feel the Holy Ghost in this room. Hallelujah. I believe the Lord started a work on Wednesday night in prayer. I believe the Lord moved in and moved in the Holy Ghost in a mighty way, and I had prayer kind of stripped it out to go a different direction, and that's not the direction that God took it, and that's exactly a-okay with me, because I would rather be in the will of the Lord than the will of Isaac, because I promise you the will of the Lord is a much better will to be in. But I believe the Lord began to break off some hardening, began to loose some chains and some shackles, and began to begin the restoration process and what he desires to do on somebody. So I feel like this is in the continuance of what I said at the end of Sunday night or Wednesday night. I read 1 Kings. If you were here in service, Brother Eric finished his lesson with this scripture. 1 Kings 18:41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound. For there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now, look towards the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time. We're a quick service God. We want a quick service God. Casey, 1 time. God, fix this problem. God, do this for me right now. God, do this. Well, he didn't do it. I guess God doesn't care. I guess God doesn't. No. 7 times continually. He went back 7 times. Oh, I don't see anything yet. Go back and continue praying. Oh, 6 times. Oh, not bad. Not yet. Finally, on the 7th time, he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was with black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. For the next few moments, I want to preach. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. I want to say it in this room right now. I preach greater things are yet to come. And 2 weeks ago, we had an incredible move of the Holy Ghost. Pastor called us to prayer and fasting. We began that process. I believe there are greater things yet to come in 26. But I want to say in a prophetic word and believe, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. I believe revival is getting ready to pour out upon Elkhart Life in a way that we've never experienced and we can't fathom with our own brains or capabilities. Can anybody else hear the rain? Is anybody else willing to believe? I hear the rain. I want to say thank you to our worship team for leading us into the atmosphere of the Holy Ghost. We're blessed to have such talented musicians and singers anointed and praying and seeking. But before I go into this word, can we just bow our heads across this building right now? In Jesus' name, God, I pray right now, Lord, that you've already begun to trouble the waters, God. Lord, but I pray that there be someone here willing to step outside of the boat, God. Lord, to put their eyes on you and fixate on what's possible, just like Peter did when he walked upon the face of the water, God. Lord, to put faith and trust in you, not in their own capabilities, but the one who spoke it into existence, God. So I pray right now that faith be built in this room, God. Lord, that anointing be bestowed and pulled upon people right now, God. In Jesus' name, I thank you. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, tell him, I can hear the sound of abundance. For those that were not here, I told Brother Eric, it was a surprise that Brother Eric was going to teach first service and I was going to preach second service. A baby does that. A baby changes plans. So I told Brother Eric, hey, would you teach the first lesson? He said, yeah, absolutely. And then we had service on Wednesday night, and 1 Kings 18:41 is what I read at the end of prayer. Felt led in the Holy Ghost to go to that scripture. Began to read because what we were experiencing, I feel, is the abundance of rain getting ready to fall. I told Brother Eric, hey, I'm going to teach this just so you know. You do your lesson, but I'm going to teach the back half of that lesson. I'm going to teach a little bit. So you're getting a two-parter today for that here for first service and second service. I know it's kind of a rarity to teach the same exact subject, but we're just going to continue on. But I want to paint the picture for those that maybe don't know where we're at here in 1 Kings 18. And Israel has been in a drought that had been proclaimed and prophesied, and Elijah told Ahab that was going to happen. And it is happened, and it's so severe and so bad that there is no water anywhere. There is nothing to drink. The cattle's dying. The flocks are gone. The fields are dead over, and they have the gods that they worship, the gods of Baal. And Elijah challenges them to a duel. And the way Brother Eric did such a great job of describing that, they came for 9 hours. They worshiped, and the whole idea was, you get 2 bulls. You pick one, I'll pick one. We'll set it up, but we won't bring any fire. and the God that sends the fire is the God. So for 9 hours, the prophets of Baal, all 450 of them, danced, worshiped, shouted, cut themselves, act a fool, and Elijah just stood and did commentary. Ever wonder, I was thinking about it when Eric was teaching, after they screamed and yelled, Sister Joni, fire, and then that didn't work for a while, and then someone got a bright idea, let's pull a sword out, and we'll cut ourselves, and we'll start to fling our blood on the sacrificial offering. Elijah's, we're going to swords now. Okay, wow. I mean, it's not bad enough that your God's already sleeping, or he's out on another phone call, or he's dealing with another problem. Yep, that's right, cut yourself. Fling your blood, you're doing a great job. The more of you that you cut yourself, the less I'll have to kill later on. I don't know what his commentary was, but I can imagine him trolling over a little bit. And of course, we all know that that does not work. And Elijah goes and says, hey, grab 12 stones, grab 12 barrels. We're gonna pour the 12 barrels of water on top of the altar here. It's an interesting point that they go in. It's 12 stones, 12 barrels, 12 tribes of Israel. They go and they're going to repent. They're going to be baptized because the sanctification of the water. And then the fire is going to fall. The Holy Ghost. It's a three-step process. Yesterday, today, and forever. It's the same thing. He goes and he says, all right, here's what's going to happen. Fire's going to fall, and does exactly that. See, the drought that they were experiencing wasn't just a physical drought. It was a spiritual drought. They had no idea what God could do or who he was. They had spent all their time worshiping Baal. And in an instant, God steps in and defies their king or their god, Baal. Just the way that he did it to with Moses and the Egyptians. Just the way that he did it to the Assyrian gods. All the different things consistently throughout the Bible. God asserts his dominance over the other gods there. Showing that there is no one else but him. Fire falls. God proves that he's the only true God. False prophets are defeated and taken away and murdered because of their insolence. Repentance has begun. Now Elijah opens his mouth and declares something absolutely radical. There is a sound of the abundance of rain. But the only problem is, there is no cloud. There is no thunder. There is no evidence of rain. Didn't say that he could smell the rain. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Those spring mornings that we'll experience here in just a few days. 70 days. 800 days. And we walk outside and be like, I don't see it, but I can smell it. Rain's coming. I don't see the rain yet, but you'll hear the thunder. Oh, there's rain coming somewhere. None of that. He's looking out, top of Mount Carmel, desert. Eric showed a much better picture, but it was nice and green, and that green picture kind of defeats the drought that I was going for. So he's looking out, and this is what I imagine it is, and he tells Ahab, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Elijah hears what others can't hear. See, the promise always precedes the proof. Elijah hears the rain before the rain exists. Faith always hears the promise before the proof. Faith always believes the miracle is going to happen before the miracle happens. It's the beauty of faith. 1 Kings 18:1 says, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Elijah simply is agreeing with what God already proclaimed was going to happen. He's not guessing, but he's taking God's word for fact. Romans 10:17 says, faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Some people wait to rejoice some people wait to see rain before they ever rejoice. Faith rejoices because God brings the rain. Some people will wait for their miracle. Some of you might struggle to rejoice because your miracle hasn't happened yet. Well, it's because your faith isn't strong enough in the God who's going to perform the miracle. Because if your faith was strong enough, you begin to say, God's in control. My miracle's coming. God's in control. My miracle's coming. I don't know when, but I know who. I don't know how, but I know who. The miracle's coming because God's the author and creator. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to believe him. Yes, yeah, Brother Isaac, it's really easy for you to say that. It's really easy for you to preach that. Preach it. I live it. It's difficult sometimes. You know how hard it is to walk in faith when you don't have a paycheck coming in and you don't have any money in the bank and you say, God, I don't know how, but I know who. So I'm going to worship you regardless of the situation because I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. You don't need clouds when you have a promise. You don't need evidence when you have the word. It's important to understand. What you hear depends where you stand at. Ahab and Elijah were standing right next to each other. Ahab, nothing. He didn't hear anything at all. But Elijah hears abundance. Same mountain, same moment, different ears. Why was that? Because Elijah had been in the presence of God. Because Elijah knew what the sound of God's voice was like. Elijah had spent time in prayer. In a few verses later, after this scripture context, it'll actually say, like a still, small voice. He knew the voice of the God because he had experienced time with him. He knew what God sounded like because he had prayed outside of that instant moment. He knew what it felt like in the comfort of peace of being in God. It's important who you spend time with. It's important to understand that this church is more than four walls and a roof. It's more than a place where God comes and ushers his presence in. It's also the people that are important. If you're full of doubt and worry, who are you surrounding yourself with? If you're full of fear and anxiety, who are you surrounding yourself with? I thought this was going to be a quick sermon. It might not be. It goes like this. Good voice. Bad voice. You can do it. Give up. Got it? It's important who you surround yourself with. Woe is me. You got any words of advice for me? That's a good idea. I don't have to try and do anything. It just, okay. The negative attracts the negative. The negative wants, because the negative doesn't have to change. You're right, it's so terrible. They're so mad to me. What should I do? Give up. I thought of that. That's what I thought I was going to do. That I thought, well, what? Say it one more time.
Give up.
But when you surround yourself by positive people, surround by yourself by people of prayer, people of belief, man, their life is so hard and I'm just doing this and it just, God doesn't even care. But you know, it's so bad. It just,
you can do it.
But I might have to sacrifice it. I might have to take some things that are my that I want to do.
You can do it.
But I don't want to do it.
You can do it.
No, but you don't understand. I'm not strong enough.
You can do it.
Well, you mean me can do it? How am I going to do it by myself? Is there anybody else involved?
You can do it.
Oh yeah. Who's on my side?
God's on my side.
Oh, who's on my side?
God's on my side.
Oh, my God's on my side. You mean the battle by myself? I've got God on my side. Well, if God's on my side, who can be against me? If God be for me. It's important who you listen to. It's important to hear the voice. It's important to have people of God in your ears. It's also important to recognize negative voice, to be sensitive enough in the Holy Ghost. When he says,
give up.
That doesn't sound right. Are you sure? Are you sure that I should do?
Give up.
But that doesn't, I don't think that's what I need. I don't, instead of embracing the negative, push the negative away. Listen to the voice of God. Listen to the voice of the elders in your life. Listen to the voice of ministry in your life. If your pastor is preaching, you can do it. You can do it. God can work through you. God can do it for you. God can make a way. Trust in Him. John 10:27 says, "Sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Carnal ears hear silence. Faith hears abundance." Carnal ears say there's no chance, but faith says with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are capable. Some are listening to the sky, but Elijah was listening to God. See, we have to understand faith declares it before it ever descends upon it. Elijah doesn't whisper it. He doesn't say, "Well, maybe, Brother Weiser, maybe." No, he declares it with authority. "Get up, go eat and drink. Rain's coming." Faith doesn't wait until miracles finish. Faith talks while the sky's still blue. "I don't know how this miracle's gonna happen, but I believe it. Billy, I'm so glad you're here. I preached about you a couple weeks ago in Illinois, and I talked about you and your husband, Jake, and what God's doing in Jake's life." And Jake is a guy that, it's her husband, just in case anybody knows, and I hope he's listening to this, and he's got one of the best beards as you'll ever see in the world. And Jake is going to Israel in a month, and Jake wanted nothing to do with God, no relationship with God. But over the last few months, things have changed. And you might have seen Jake here at church. And you might have seen Jake sitting on a pew. And we're going to see Jake some more sitting on pews. But in a month in Israel, Jake and Billy are going to be going to Israel. And they're going to be meeting up with Matt and Kim. And Matt is going to be baptizing Jake in Jesus' name. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Here, let me go on in that just a little bit more. 2 Corinthians 4:13, "Having the spirit of faith according as it is written and believed, I therefore have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak." For years, Billy has claimed, "In Jesus' name, my husband is going to come to God. In Jesus' name, my husband's going to come to God." She wrote it on a prayer request and put it on a wall in one of our January prayers. Actually, probably for the last 5 or 6 years, she's done that. And people went around and prayed and said, "In Jesus' name, bless Jake." You know what? Jake hasn't been filled with the Holy Ghost yet. Jake hasn't been baptized yet, but the process is beginning. The steps are being laid. The footers are being poured. There's a house coming. I believe in the sound of the abundance of rain. Some of you are like, "Brother Isaac, why are you so excited for things that have yet to happen?" Because a year ago, the idea of that happening at all is absurd. Because his correlation and walk with God would have never allowed him to do that, because he didn't believe he needed God. Rome wasn't built in a day, and neither was his Jake's salvation. But there's a day coming where he's going to meet salvation. There's a day coming where the Holy Ghost is going to pour out upon him. The Holy Ghost is going to bless him. You know how I know it? Because she's been praying. She's believing. She's been claiming, "God, I don't know when, but I know the who. So my husband's going to be saved." See, here's the problem. You have to understand. If you're going to wait for rain to praise God, then you don't understand faith. "Well, I'll just wait for my miracle. Because once the miracle gets here, then I'll give him the glory." That sounds so dumb. That's so stupid. But how many of you in this room, including myself, are stupid? Because we've all... raising of hands, kicking up of legs. "Oh, I am, I'm dumb. Brother Cook, have we not thought that? Well, God, as soon as you perform that miracle, I'll give you that glory. As soon as you perform that miracle, I'm going to shout my bobby pins down. It's not faith if you wait till the rain. The faith is, God, you're going to perform the miracle. I don't know when, but I'm going to worship you. God, you're going to supply the miracle. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I know that you're in control. So I'm going to praise you every situation and every moment. I'm not going to let my circumstance dictate my praise. My praise is going to dictate the circumstance. The bigger the battle is, the greater my praise should be. The bigger my adversary is, the more wonderful my praise should be. Because if the battle's that strong, guess how much stronger my God has to be. I'm closing. Abundance comes birthed out of prayer. Right after Elijah declares that there's rain coming, he does something powerful. Verse 42, he goes up to Mount Carmel, gets on his knees, he begins to pray. He announces it publicly, but he prays it privately. Casey, this is the day of embarrassing everybody. Your mom said this, I checked with her. Come here, buddy. Casey is going to be a great preacher for the Lord. He's already doing great things. He impacts our youth, and he does wonderful things. Casey was in my youth class. There was an anointing on Casey when he was in 7th or 8th grade. Pastor and I sat in the office and talked about Casey. We talked about the impact that Casey can have on the people around him as an 8th grader. He's the same size, but as an 8th grader. We talked about this guy that can walk into a room and attract flies like honey. An impact. What you don't know is that Casey came to church, and I don't mean any embarrassment. Casey would get dropped off. His dad would drop him off. His mom would drop him off. And Casey would come to church by himself, all by himself. He would just keep on coming. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, the faithfulness of mom and dad kept him here. But as Casey got older, Casey said, I'm tired of going to church by myself. I'm tired of attending church by myself. I want my family to be saved. So Casey, living in his own house, one day took Joshua and the walls of Jericho to mine. And his mom said she, I don't know if she woke up or looked out the window, but she saw Casey walking around their house, speaking in tongues and praying. Speaking and saying, in Jesus' name, bring my family to church. In Jesus' name, bring my family to church. In Jesus' name, I don't know when, God, but I know the who. At the time, his brother wasn't really attending church. Now his brother's in ministry in Illinois. His mom and his dad are sitting here. His nephew's sitting here. His sister and his brother-in-law were here last week. He's got a beautiful wife that serves the Lord that's here right now. But it all started with a proclamation of prayer. I want my family to be in church. I don't just want to say, I want my family to be in church. I'm going to pray about it until something happens. I'm going to keep on pushing forward until something happens. Hey, Brother Casey. Brother Casey, did they come the next week? Did they come the week after that? It took a while, didn't it? How long did it take? Years. Are they all here? Your family might not be sitting on a pew next to you, but that's okay. He hasn't come back yet. Until he comes back, they've still got time to get on a pew. They still got time to get their heart right. Don't stop praying. Don't stop believing. Keep on speaking in faith. They're coming back. I believe it. I claim it. Verse 44. He prays seven times, 6 times, nothing there. But the seventh time, Brother Aaron, the seventh time, he goes up, looks out. It doesn't look like rain clouds to me. That looks like ChatGPT put one single cloud in a sunny picture. But Elijah looked at it. It wasn't a cloud of abundance, Brother Weiser. It wasn't a cloud of great magnitude. We all know what we're talking when we see that black wall of storm headed our way. We're like, oh boy, batten down the hatches. We're going to get a good one. No, most of us would have never even acknowledged a cloud that size. But instead of seeing abundance, Elijah saw confirmation. He tells Ahab, go drink, go eat, get ready and get your chariot and get out of here because a storm's coming. It's going to be a doozy like we've never seen before. There's going to be some pretty severe flooding. There's going to be some pretty severe storms, maybe a couple of mudslides, maybe something like that. Get to a place of safety. I want you to hear me. When the rain comes suddenly, what started as just a sound ends as a storm. What you hear in faith, what you pray through in persistence, what you declare in confidence will eventually come to fruition with the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Don't give up your prayer. You're praying for a lost one. Don't stop praying. You're praying for someone who's struggling. Don't stop praying. You've got a lost one that's walked away. Don't stop praying. God will see those prayers. God hears those prayers. God's going to come back in the moment when he needs it the most. God does not tease his people. He promises and he performs it. Wednesday night, this week, we're going to have prayer. We're going to have prayer every Wednesday night for the rest of the month, just those that weren't here. But we're going to have specific prayer on Wednesday. On Wednesday is going to be our needs prayer. We're going to come. And I love this. It's one of my favorite nights of prayer. I'll have post-it notes ready to go. And it's an opportunity for you to post your prayers. God, I need a raise at my job. God, I need restoration in a relationship with a loved one. God, I've got a lump that I don't know what it is. And I need you to do a work. And we'll go and we'll put these prayer requests on the wall all the way around the building. And like Joshua in the walls of Jericho, as a church body, we'll spread out. And we'll get in front of these sticky notes. And we'll begin to pray for each and every single prayer. And we'll begin to march around this church in faith and victory. God, I see the problem. I see the situation. God, I know this problem. I mentioned it on Wednesday night, but a lot of you were not here. 3 years ago, I put on the note, my friend Ryan and Ashley Mitchell were unable to have a baby. Tons and tons of miscarriages. They've tried IVF. They've tried all of these different things. And I prayed. I had just spoken with Ryan. His wife was just broken. The desire to have a child weighed so heavy upon them. They had done everything they can. They had pumped literally hundreds of thousands of dollars into the having a child with no success. And it, to the point, Sister Linda, that Ryan had kind of given up on the idea of it. Maybe that's not what God wants for us. But this past week, they got to make a statement and said, everybody, check out our God's blessing. We've got a baby coming in 2026. My daughter texted, she saw it before I did. She texted me, did you see this, Dad? I hadn't seen it yet. They were overseas and they posted it when they were overseas. And I began to get emotional and think about, not because I'm excited. I am excited for them. I'm excited for them to experience parent life. That's going to be a good time. But I was excited because I got to experience God's faithfulness in prayers. And I knew we were going into prayer month. And I know that there's somebody underneath the sound of my voice that's struggling with something. And maybe your prayer has been on that wall for 3 or 4 years and you haven't seen it yet. Or maybe you have yet to put a prayer on that. Let me tell you, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. I believe your miracle is on the horizon. I believe that revival is on the precipice for Elkhart Life. I believe that there's going to be broken people coming back to this church. I believe that we're going to see children that have walked away from God step back into this building and look for an answer. His name is Jesus. He is my Savior and He is my provider. And He'll make a way when there seems to be no other way. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm closing as everyone gets in position. You may not see the rain yet, but can you hear the rain? Can you hear restoration? Can you hear revival? Can you hear miracles? Can you hear abundance? There is a sound of rain. Not because clouds have formed, but because God has spoken. He says He's going to pour out His rain in the latter days. We are in the latter days. I'm talking to someone here that maybe is in a dry season. Someone here that's maybe a little frustrated with God. But we take a moment of self-reflection. God's not the reason for our frustration. We're the reason for our frustration. Maybe someone here is in a dry spell and you've not felt the anointing of the Holy Ghost, or you've questioned what His calling is on you. It's an opportunity for you to step out in faith. I'm opening the altars and I'm asking you to come and say, God, maybe I don't hear the rain yet, but I believe the promise of the rain. Sister Linda, I was thinking about Amy. And she's not in church yet, but she will be. I'm preaching to someone that felt a change in their spirit here in 2026. That you feel like this year is a year of abundance for you. That greater things have yet to come, but you're fearful for what those greater things may be. Those things that may require sacrifice or effort upon your behalf. Those things that move through or bless. God, I pray, Lord, that you move through right now. In Jesus' name, I pray. God, that you step in, God, and that you show out. Lord, I pray that you move into this place right now. In Jesus' name, God, I pray, Lord. Someone who's struggling with something. Someone who's questioning what's going on. You need rain after a drought. You need to hear faith again. But you need courage to declare it. I'm asking in this room right now, if you'd stand. Lift your hands. Say, Lord, tune my ears to what you've called, what you're saying. Lord, let me see what you need for me to do right now. Then I'm asking you to take a step in faith. I'm asking you to take a step out of your pew. Make your way down to an altar. I guarantee you, underneath the sound of my voice, there's people that have been thinking about, I'm struggling with this right now. I'm struggling with this problem and this situation. I'm struggling with this heartache. This thing is going on, this battle I can't overcome. But I know a God who can. So I ask that you find a place in an altar. Raise your hands and begin to say, God, do a work in me. God, do a work in me right now. Lord, I pray in Jesus. God, I claim victory right now in this house, God. Lord, there be an uplifting of faith, God. Lord, I pray in Jesus.